About half the country has a state requirement in place that students complete some kind of personal finance coursework in order to graduate. A Republican-backed bill would have added Wisconsin to that list. It failed to pass last month. So what are students in the state learning about managing money? How effective are current state standards? And can parents talk to their kids about what can they talk to their kids about when it comes to making good financial decisions? We're tackling those questions as we come to the end of National Financial Literacy Month, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Parents, do you talk to your kids about money? Kids, have you had conversations about money with your parents and what should happen in schools when it comes to financial literacy? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Melody Harvey is an assistant professor at the UW-Madison School of Human Ecology's Department of Consumer Science. She studies the effects of public policies on financial capability, decisions, and well-being, especially in economically vulnerable populations. She also works with the UW Institute for Research on Poverty. Melody, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you all so much for having me as well.
We don't have this, you got to have a high school credit in financial literacy now in Wisconsin. We do have some curriculum, though, that gets mixed in throughout the school career. What kind of things do we have under this law passed in 2017?
And so generally, every state with content standards covers some aspect of credit and debt management, general money management, saving and investing, and understanding consumer rights and responsibilities. And some states, including Wisconsin, also cover career and post-secondary education planning, retirement planning, homeownership, the role of financial mindset, and understanding the effects of limited personal finance on decision-making, and even understanding the use of high-cost borrowing, such as payday loans, auto title loans, and rent-to-own financing. So it covers the wide gamut of financial decisions that we may encounter in our day-to-day.
I know a big part of your research, Melody, is does this stuff work? Looking at other research, looking at your own research, what do we know about the impact that different kinds of financial literacy education in schools has on what people do when they grow up and become young adults?
And so overall in research, we are seeing that young adults who were exposed to required personal finance courses to graduate fare better in credit outcomes and debt decisions. And so in particular, they have higher credit scores on average and are less likely to be credit delinquent. We see them less likely to resort to high-cost borrowing, particularly payday loans. And among young adults who decide to go on to college or some form of post-secondary education training, we see that they are more likely to fill out a FAFSA, which translates to more grants and scholarships on average, as well as trading off the generally cheaper, the cheaper federal student loans in lieu of the more expensive private student loans.
We're talking about schools so far. You pointed us toward a couple surveys of parents and how much they talk to their kids about financial issues. What do we know about the role that parents can play in instilling financial literacy in their kids?
And so according to a recent survey by CNBC and Acorns, they find that only 15% of parents said they spoke with their children more than once a week about household finances. Another 13% said they do so once a week, and 16% said they did so once a month. And some 24% of parents said they talked to their children even less often in apps, and around 30% report that they never speak with their children about personal finances. And much of this is driven by a degree of discomfort parents report having in discussing money matters with their children, especially amidst concerns that they themselves don't necessarily feel like they are experts in money management. But other research such as those by Dr. Margaret Achobarger at Chicago Booth, find that children as young as 5 have developed feelings about spending and saving money. And so some easy strategies, especially with younger children, include reading books about money with them, as well as integrating it into math lessons they are learning. And in cases of slightly older children and teenagers, this can even be as simple as going to the bank with your teenager and helping them set up a bank account and explaining how banking works.
Yeah, that's interesting. The fear that a parent might not have enough expertise. I mean, is there just value in something as simple as we are saving up to go on a vacation, replace the water heater, whatever. Here's how we're setting money aside every month. Just that kind of nuts and bolts stuff. Is there value in bringing kids on board with that?
There certainly is value with discussing how you're using money and towards what expenses with children. And research has shown that that can help mold the financial behaviors that they will eventually mimic. And another strategy we have seen be effective includes either providing some sort of allowance or even allocating as small as $5 while in a grocery store and having it be snack money, for example, to help orient children to learn how to spend versus save versus compare prices.
We're talking about financial literacy and education with Melody Harvey, assistant professor at the UW-Madison School of Human Ecology's Department of Consumer Science. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a parent, do you have little lessons like that that you've done with your kids? How allowance works, how a bank account works, how you save money, that kind of thing. Is there a lesson that you learned maybe in your own childhood or young adulthood that really helped you get a handle one way or another on money? And hey, how about schools? What kind of education do you want to see going on there? Do you want a formal high school class that you got to pass to graduate? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about what Wisconsin students learn about managing their money and finances in schools and at home. Melody Harvey stays with us, assistant professor in the UW-Madison School of Human Ecology's Department of Consumer Science. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you teach your kids, if any, about money? How did you learn about money growing up? What have you seen in schools? Do you include financial literacy, if you're a teacher, in what you teach your kids, your students? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's bring on a caller now. Anna is with us in Janesville. Anna, hello.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about, Anna?
So I started when my kids were like 5 and 7, when we would go to the grocery store, we kind of budgeted. I would give them amount, say $100, and one of the kids would have the calculator and the other one would have the list. And once we got close to that $100 mark, we would talk about what was left on the list and what maybe we could do without, like cookies, and what needed to be in the cart, like milk, to kind of keep that budget going. And now that they're older, one of them is really good with money and the other one still needs a little bit of help, but those seeds were planted as they grew up with kind of, you know, needs versus wants with budgeting our money a bit.
And I got to ask, were they willing to give up the cookies?
Actually, a lot of times they were, because there was a lot of compromise that could be made instead of, you know, this particular cookie that was, you know, X amount. Maybe they would be okay with getting this cookie that was a little cheaper.
Fantastic. Anna, thanks a lot for sharing that with us. Melody, starting at 5 years old in that case could make a difference, it sounds like.
Right. That's absolutely right. And that's the age where research has determined they've already developed feelings about spending and saving money. So that's certainly a great time to begin discussing and orienting children to spending money and budgeting and comparing cost at the grocery store, as our caller Anna points out.
Anna, thanks a lot for sharing that with us. We'll go to Pete now in Montello. Pete, hello.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What do you want to share with us, Pete?
Well, you know, like I heard a little bit earlier here on the young lady that was on before, but starts off at an early age, and it's the parents' responsibilities to their kids. And it's just like your little daughter or son, they come up and they want $1 to play a video game. So you give them $1. Then they come back. Maybe you're at some type of social event, and they come back, they want another $1. And then you give them another $1. Then they come back, they want another $1. So you finally tell them, well, here's a $10 bill. Do with it what you want, but that's all you're getting. Or you can save it, and you can buy something else later. So that starts off at an early age. But then when they get older, it's amazing how many kids, like right out of high school, don't understand what it costs to live a year.
Mm-hmm.
Pete, thanks a lot for that call. Melody, let's pick up on that last point. At the high school level, when kids are, you know, likely going to leave the nest pretty soon, what are some of the key things that we want to make sure they know at that point?
Some of the key things include how to budget for these life expenses. And so, of course, not only understanding how much groceries cost, but also understanding how much rent costs, and if they own a car, how much maintaining a car costs, including gas, periodic maintenance, and insurance. And if they are deciding to pursue any form of post-secondary education training or going on to college, also understanding the cost associated with college, including what they'll need in order to pay out of pocket versus what they may need in terms of borrowing.
Pete, thanks.
And so that list grows, of course, substantially mm-hmm. as you're approaching high school graduation and preparing to leave the nest.
Pete, thanks a lot for the call. And Melody, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Melody Harvey, assistant professor at the UW-Madison School of Human Ecology's Department of Consumer Science. She joined us today to talk about personal finance education in Wisconsin, what students learn at school, what we could teach them at home, and you can keep sharing your experiences. Email centraltime@wpr.org.